tonight, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, and we're just going to have a word of prayer quickly. We'll turn there real quick and get into the message tonight. I realize the time tonight and the hour, and so it's my goal tonight to be as brief as possible. Just do a Bible study with you tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, and really our theme verse for the year, Ephesians 6 and verse 18. But let's bow in prayer and ask God to bless our time around His Word. Father in heaven, we thank You for this evening. We thank You for the privilege it is to gather together as a church family and to rejoice together, to see how You've worked in our midst, to see how You're using us as a church in this world to reach lost souls for You. And I pray that there would never be a time, and that we would have that passion in our hearts, that there would never be a time in this place and in our midst that we would not see You working and bringing souls to Christ. And so we're thankful for that tonight. But now, Lord, we turn our focus and we want to hear from You. We want to hear from Your Word. And we rejoice in all that You have done, but we want You to continue that work in our hearts. And so I pray as we look at this familiar verse tonight that You would just open our eyes, help us to not look at it as something that we've read many times, something that we've heard many times, but we'd be able to get a fresh perspective of what You have for us and really the relationship and prayer that You desire to have with each and every one of us. Direct my words, dear Lord. Help me to be a pure and clean vessel that You might be able to use to give attention to Your Word and to the truth that You have placed here for us. And we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you remember that last year, I think, around the springtime last year, I was preaching through Ephesians, and we had gotten all the way through the armor of the Lord that we find here in Ephesians chapter 6. And for whatever reason, I think looking back now is the Lord, but we weren't able to finish that. And lo and behold, it just so happens that Ephesians 6:18, exactly where we stopped, is our theme verse for the year. So I think the Lord knew that. So I think over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look here in verse number 18, and then next week we'll come and follow up and talk about the prayer for the evangelist, the prayer for Paul, and how we can pray more effectively, not only for those in the official position of evangelists, our missionaries, but then also each of us as we do the work of an evangelist and spread the gospel. Looking forward to that next week. But first we want to deal with Ephesians 6:18. I want to know, and this is important, and you can keep yourself from a lot of danger if you're careful in handling the Word of God. And of course, we preach here and teach the grammatical, historical interpretation of the Bible. We don't believe in extrapolations into allegory and all those different things. The Word of God means what it says. It says what it means. And with a little bit of perspective, with a little bit of sense, as it talked about the prophet Ezra, as he got up and read the Word and gave the sense thereof. Some of that is grammar, all right? So for you young people who just can't stand it, all right, apply yourself in school. It'll help you in studying the Word of God. And of course, here in this passage, it helps as well, because so often in Christianity, we focus on the section before in verses 10 through 17, and a lot of preaching has gone forth. A lot of books have been written about the armor of God, and rightfully so. But most people, they just kind of end it right there at verse number 17. But a grammatical look shows you that verse 18 is actually part of the sentence that begins in verse 17, where we're told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that is all one single sentence. Now, for time's sake, we're not going to try to deal with the whole sentence. We're just going to deal with what's in verse 18. But it helps contextually to understand that. And so as we go through tonight, I just want to give you briefly seven truths about prayer. And these truths will help us to engage our spiritual enemy. Again, think of the context. The context is the spiritual armor of the Christian. The fact that in verse 10, the function of the Christian soldier is to be strong in the power of the Lord and the power of His might, to stand in the evil day, to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. Our function as a soldier is to stand against the enemy. And one of the ways in which we do that, one of the ways we engage the enemy, is in the warfare of prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the warfare of prayer. And I want to give you seven truths that will help you engage the enemy in this warfare of prayer. Number one, I want you to notice in this passage, we're just going to go word by word, all right? Nothing rocket science here tonight, but word by word. And I think as we unpack it, you'll start to see some marvelous truth that's here. The first thing that we see in the very first word, praying, we see something about the significance of prayer. The significance of prayer. Sometimes we just have to take a step back and think and ask ourselves the question, what is prayer? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What exactly do we define as prayer? There's a lot of things that that are done, even in religion, that they would call prayer. And we might look at it and say, well, you know, that's not really prayer. I mean, you're just, you know, reciting some words. You're saying this lingo over and over and over again, and you expect something to change or something to happen with that. And that's not really prayer. Well, then we ought to ask ourselves, then what is prayer? If that's not prayer, what is prayer? And of course, there's many ways that we could define it. Here's something that I thought of as just a way to think about prayer. Prayer is talking to God. And the reason we talk to God is because we have knowledge of His power and His sufficiency. So just simply put, prayer is my speaking to God, is my conversation with God. And I'm having that conversation. I'm speaking to God because I have firsthand knowledge, relationship. I have firsthand knowledge of His power, what He's done. And of course, if you sit here today as a born-again child of God, you've experienced that power in your life, all right? You know what that is, all right? So you know His power, and then you've experienced salvation. You know His sufficiency, that everything we need in life, everything that you and I need as a believer in life is found in Him. And we talk to Him because He has everything that we need. And so prayer is talking to God with knowledge of His power and sufficiency. And so that demonstrates its significance. Prayer is talking with God. Now, as you're raising your kids, perhaps you've had to teach them, you know, when there is an adult speaking, or when mommy and daddy are speaking to an adult, it's not proper, it's not right, it's rather rude of the children to just run in and completely butt in the conversation and take over and say, "Mom, daddy, I need this, help me with this." You're respectfully to wait your turn. Why? Because the person, that the conversation that's taking place is important. All right? Not that your child is not that important, but they are to respect that conversation. If you were on the phone with an important world leader and they just happened to call you, and you know there's ruckus in the house, what are you going to do? You're going to be like, "Shh, I'm on the phone. This is an important conversation." Prayer is a conversation with God. Amen. That is significant, is it not? That's something that's important. So there's significance in prayer in its definition, but there's also significance in prayer in its function. And the fact that it's listed here right along with, right on the tail end of verse 17, which deals with the offensive weaponry of the Christian armor. And so it's listed here. And so prayer is something that we do along with or with the enabling of the Christian armor that we have. In other words, we need the spiritual armor in order to pray effectively. And so you could literally to go through this verse or this passage and in the grammar, it would be consistent to look at it this way. In verse 14, we can stand therefore praying always. We can take the shield of faith, praying always. We're to verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, praying always. All right, this idea that we are taking the armor of God all the while praying. So it goes right along. It's right along with that. And so there's some significance in that. There's also some significance in this idea of praying in the fact that it's needed, in its necessity, because we are not able to stand. We are not able to withstand without prayer. And the location of how this is written, that I believe is part of the point that Paul is making. That prayer is necessary in order for us to stand, in order for us to withstand in the evil day. And I think as Christians, it's helpful for us, it's needful for us to be regularly reminded of the significance and the necessity of prayer. Brethren, remind yourself tonight, and I need to remind myself tonight to be stirred up by putting myself in remembrance that prayer is important, that it's significant. And so with all these truths, I'd like to ask a question. Ask yourself this question. I'll ask myself this question. How significant is prayer in your life? If it's a significant thing, it ought to hold a significant place in our life. So the significance of prayer. Number two, you notice he says in verse 18, praying always. So we see something about the frequency of prayer. Praying always. Now this is a curious phrase. Perhaps you pondered over this. What does it mean to pray always? Do we find a place, or perhaps the place that we normally pray, our prayer closet, or that chair in the living room, or the place where we meet with God each and every day? And does that mean that we just, you know, stay there and never leave, and, you know, we don't go to work, we don't take care of our family in any sort of way, we just pray? Just pray. Is that what it means? I don't think so. If it does, we're all in sin, all right? So that wouldn't be a problem. But what does it mean? It's interesting. The word always is translated from three different Greek words, and they literally mean at all times or in every season. In other words, I think the point is that it's never inappropriate for prayer. There's never a time in which prayer is not appropriate. Praying always. Some have likened it in this way. Praying always has the idea of staying on the line. You've done that before. You know, you're trying to deal with something, and perhaps you're waiting on something, and so you can't hold the phone up the whole time, so you put it on speakerphone, you lay it down on your desk, and you're waiting. Now, during that time, other people might be able to come into your office, you might be able to talk to them, but as soon as somebody picks up, as soon as that conversation needs to be had, it's hold on. You're on the line. You're ready. Right then and there. Drop everything. It's time to pray. There are no iniquities that separate between you and God. All right? You're ready to pray. I think a really good illustration of this is Nehemiah, and we won't take the time to turn back there. I would encourage you to look at it. We think of the time in Nehemiah's life where he was serving the king, and the king noticed that he was sad, that his countenance had fallen, and he said, Nehemiah, what's wrong? Are you sick? I've never seen you quite this way before. And so Nehemiah explained, well, I'm sad because my home city of Jerusalem, the capital of my people, the walls are broken down, the gates are burned with fire, and they're in great desolation. And the king said, well, what do you want me to do about it? And it says in Nehemiah 2, verse 4, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, we realize that I don't think that Nehemiah said to the king, hold on, you know, let me kneel down here and go through the whole prayer. But what's important about that is that verse is found in Nehemiah chapter 2. There is before that, what takes before that, it takes place before that is Nehemiah chapter 1. And if you read Nehemiah chapter 1, you realize that Nehemiah had spent much time in prayer. And we find preserved for us some of the things that Nehemiah prayed and how he repented for the sins of his people. He cried out to God for his grace and his mercy. And so he had the relationship set up so that he was online with God. He was on the line. He was staying there. He was in communication with God. And when there was a need, boom, he could pray. It's kind of like if you have a healthy relationship with your spouse, and of course nowadays there's a lot more ways to communicate. But you know, the lines are always open between me and my wife as far as, all right, something happens. There doesn't have to be an introduction like, hey, I want to tell you about this. Let me give you an introduction to this. She might just send me a picture. This is something funny the kids did today or is going on right now. All right. And vice versa. The lines of communication are open. All right. And there's never a time in which that's a interruption or an annoyance in my schedule or hers, because there's a relationship there. And that's the same way it ought to be with us and God. And so, Let's think about this. If we're supposed to be praying always, if the lines of communication between us and God are supposed to be open all the time, why don't we pray always? Why doesn't that happen? Well, hang with me now. Think about this. I think the number one enemy of praying always is not actually praying when we pray. Does that make sense? The number one enemy of praying always is not actually praying when we pray. And this happens both privately and publicly. I've been challenged in this area this year. When someone is praying publicly, literally what we as a church ought to be doing, what I ought to be doing, is hanging on every word, listening to each phrase, and as I find agreement, as I hear things that you know, the Spirit of God says, yes, that's what I want to do, I'm then agreeing in prayer. Yes, Lord, that's what I want. Amen, Lord. And that's why it's not inappropriate to say amen while someone is praying. All right. Now, I know some people have taken this too far, and you can go to churches in different places where the person's praying and you have no idea who's praying because everyone's just yelling and shouting out of turn. We're not talking about that. But if we're praying with someone, if we as a congregation are praying together, then we have to be engaged mentally. Amen. With what is being said, what is being asked of God, what is being said about God, and then agreeing with what is taking place and saying, yes, God, that's exactly what I want. Amen, God, would you work in that situation? Do what he said. Oh, that's a wonderful revelation about who you are. And, oh, I worship you for that. And you know what? That doesn't sound very difficult. But yet it is. I challenge you with that. Hold yourself accountable. And when the prayers are offered in a public sense, are you praying? Are you actually praying when we pray? But that goes individually as well. Are we actually praying when we pray? I like how John Phillips put it in his commentary. He mentions three enemies of praying always. All right, or actually praying when we pray. And this is something that we all deal with, right? It's our mind. We have wandering thoughts. Have you ever prayed this way? You pray for this person, and then you think of, oh, that person is friends with that person. And then, well, that person who's friends with that person, they just got a new car, and that was a nice car. And, boy, my car kind of needs some work. Oh, the inspection's out on my car. And maybe when I'm taking my car to the shop to get inspected, I could pick the dry cleaning up. And, oh, that's right across the street from the grocery store. And we probably need some of this and some of that. And, well, before you know it, you're way down there. Has anybody else done that? Is that just me? Wandering thoughts. They're our enemy of praying always. There's also worldly thoughts. Worldly thoughts is the idea that we are preoccupied with material things. And this is that fleshly prayer that only goes to God when we have something that we want. Or when something isn't going the way we would like it to go. God, would you fix this situation? Would you help me to pay this bill? Would you help me to pass this test? Would you give me this promotion? Now, it's interesting. It's not that we're not supposed to pray for material things, but that is not the focus. Think about the model prayer. There's only one small line in the model prayer that deals with material things. Give us this day our daily bread. The rest of it has nothing to do with this material world. It has nothing to do with advancement in career. It has nothing to do with, you know, a specific monetary need being met. Again, not that we don't pray for those things, but those things ought not to be the focus. And our mind, though, naturally, when we go to prayer, wants to pray for ourselves. What do I want? And let me tell God about all the things that I want. Worldly thoughts. And then have you ever experienced this? This is where you realize that prayer is warfare. And that's the wicked thoughts. All of a sudden, just out of absolute nowhere, there's an image. There's a phrase. There's an attitude. An absolutely wicked, sinful, hatred, bitter, lustful thought. Just right there. Where did that come from? It came from your enemy. And your enemy doesn't want you to pray. He wants you to stop praying. Boy, we need to practice 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That needs to be a regular practice in our lives so that we can pray always. Tonight, I wonder how much we would grow in our prayer lives if we made it a point to actually pray when we pray. When it's time to give thanks for the meal, actually pray when we pray. When it comes time to praying in our devotional lives, actually praying when we pray. When it comes time as a congregation to join together, actually praying when it's time to pray. Amen. How frequent, how focused is prayer in your life? All right, so we saw the significance of prayer, the frequency of prayer, and we've also seen that we need to go faster. Number three, the balance of prayer. The balance of prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, this again is another curious phrase. What does it mean to pray always with all prayer? The writer of our the curriculum that we use for Bible class for the kids, he likes to put it this way. And I don't know if, you know, it's quite consistent, but he actually lists it as a weapon. It's one of the weapons in the Christian armor, and he calls it all prayer. The weapon of all prayer. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I think what Paul is really talking about is the idea of that we are to pray, but we are to utilize all types of prayer. All types of prayer. Whether that is adoration and worship, whether that is confession, whether that is thanksgiving, petition, intercession, praise. We are to pray always. But you know what? The spiritual battle in prayer is not just asking for things that we want. The spiritual battle in prayer goes far deeper than that. And we need to have a balance in our prayer life. Because often it can be weighted and bent towards just, God, give me the things that I really want or that I really need. And God wants to have so much more of a relationship with you than just that. All right? That we are to pray always with all types of prayer. That it ought to be balanced. This is the balance of prayer. Now, he does mention supplication. He does mention the idea of making a petition, of seeking, of asking, of entreating, of the earnesty of asking someone. But we ought to be driven to prayer, not just because we have a pressing need. Now, sometimes God allows needs in our lives to drive us to prayer. But really, what we need to be doing is to have a vibrant relationship with God. And it's our relationship with God that drives us to prayer, not just because we need something. We won't pray always when we only pray when we need something, because those needs come and the needs go. You go through some good times in life, you go through some bad times. Right? You're not going to pray always if you treat God or you view God as the magic genie in the bottle and you just rub and then he comes out and gives you your three wishes for the day. not praying always. So our prayer needs to be balanced. Can I ask you tonight, how balanced is your prayer life? Number four, the balance of prayer. Now we see the boundaries of prayer. The boundaries of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And here are the boundaries, in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit means that we are praying within the boundaries, within the bounds of His will. Amen. That the requests that we are making, the petitions that we are making, are shaped by the desires of God, by God's will, by what He wants to do. Of course, that leads us to the next question. If we're going to pray within the boundaries of God's will, within the boundaries of what does God want, how do we know God's will? Well, how do we know God's will? It starts with the Word of God, right? We find God's will. God tells us about His desires. God tells us about what He wants in His Word. But then it goes one step deeper, and it continues with us having the desire in our heart to ask the question, what does God want in this situation?
Amen.
Before we pray, the boundaries that we ought to stay within and desire to be within ought to be shaped by the question of what does God want? Before we go to prayer, we should ask that question. Here's a situation. Here's a need. Now, you might know, here's what I want. Of course, it's not that hard. You don't have to do a lot of investigation to know this is what I want. You might have to do some struggle and some investigation to find out what God wants. Maybe, perhaps. Oftentimes, it's kind of obvious what God wants, but we don't really think about it. We haven't taken the time to think about, what does God want to do in this situation? Yes, I have this need. Or yes, I'm praying for this person in this hour of need in their life, but what does God want to do in their life, in their situation? Those are the boundaries of prayer. Our supplications must be limited within the boundaries and of agreement with the Spirit of God. Can I ask you tonight, how submitted is your prayer life? Number five, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. Watching thereunto. This is the readiness of prayer. The readiness of prayer. There's two words there, watching, and then the word thereunto. The word watching means, and of course you can think back in history and even envision this in your mind, as someone keeping a watch. If you were assigned a watch, it was your job to do that patrol, to walk around those areas and make sure that you stayed awake. And make sure that you were watching to see if the enemy was going to strike. You were on watch. And that's what watching means. It means to keep awake. Spiritually speaking, we are to be awake. We are to be circumspect, as Paul talked about, to walk circumspectly. The idea of circum, that's the circle all around, the circumference around you. And then spectacles, you're looking. You're using your eyes to look. You're walking and you're thinking circumspectly. What is going on around me? It means to be attentive. It means to be ready, to be on the lookout, to be vigilant. Well, and it's often used, as far as the idea of watching, it's often used to speak of our attitude about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're kind of, in a sense, looking under every rock, like, is He coming? Around every corner, is He coming? All right? That's our attitude and how we view life. That's the idea of watching. But it says we're to watch thereunto. Now, thereunto is kind of a pointing word. And we realize thereunto is pointing back to the idea of praying always, the idea of prayer. So literally speaking, we are to be attentive, we are to be ready, we are to be on the lookout for opportunities to pray. We're to be looking for prayer needs, an opportunity to talk to God about the situation that we're in. And you can see a parallel in a vibrant, strong husband-wife relationship. And in the fact that as you're going through your day, you're experiencing some things, and you don't want to just experience those things alone. You're living some memories, you're doing some things, and you want to include that person who is close to you. You want to include them in the experiences that you're going through. And that it ought to be the same way between us and God.
Amen.
That we want to, now we realize God sees everything and he knows everything, but we want to share those experiences with God. And of course, what is God up to? He's up to working in this world. And as we are sharing our experiences with God, we're going to become attentive to this is what God is doing. And let me get involved here. Let me plug myself in here and be a part of this. Of course, this idea of watching to prayer is a common theme in the New Testament. Besides this specific instance, it's mentioned six other times. Of course, the time that I always think of is in Matthew 26 with the disciples in the garden. You remember that? Of course, Jesus says, my soul is very heavy and I need to pray. And of course, they were not watching. Because anybody who was paying attention could see that the Lord Jesus Christ is going through something. Now, they might not have known exactly what that was or been able to explain what that was. But if they were watching, they would have seen that Jesus Christ was going through something. And he asked them, would you pray with me? And we all know what they did. He said, stay here. I'm going to go over there. And the Bible tells us he's sweating great drops of blood, as it were, great drops of blood. And I mean, he's in anguish of spirit. And they fall asleep. Why did they fall asleep? They didn't realize what was going on. Literally speaking, if we could have, and of course now the disciples know, and if they were, you know, if they could come and speak to us, they would tell us. We didn't know that a war was going on for our very souls. With Jesus, you know, wrestling with the will of God and going to the cross. If he had said, not according to your will, I'm going to do my will, what I want, and I'm going to put this cup from me, then we would all be lost. I understand that's not a real possibility, but that's what was going on. The disciples didn't even know it. They didn't realize it. Why? They weren't watching. And Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. When we go through our life at just like deadened spiritually, and we're not in communication with God, we're not praying always, where do we inevitably land? Temptation. We waltz right into it. Why? Because we're not watching. Our spiritual awareness is not what it needs to be. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. And watching the same with thanksgiving. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then, of course, Jesus mentioned it two other times in preparation for his coming that we are to watch and pray. We are to be like a servant attending his master and watching for potential needs. We are to be awake. We are to be vigilant. We are to be looking for opportunities for prayer and needs of prayer. And this watching is a natural byproduct of our spiritual awareness. And these things go hand in hand. As we are praying always, you know, spiritual awareness causes us to pray always, and then praying always causes spiritual awareness, and it's like a perpetual motion machine. It just keeps right on going. And that's where God wants us to live. And this idea of watching is a natural byproduct of spiritual awareness, of the importance of every single moment in our lives, the spiritual significance of every moment, and the utter need that we have to have God's power and God's enabling and God's sufficiency in our life. Every moment. Amen. And you can see why you would pray always. Amen. If we had a sense of our need of God in every moment, we would pray always. Can I ask you tonight, how sought after is prayer in your life? Sought after. Are you ready? Two more real quickly. Number six, the accompaniments to prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with, here's the accompaniment, so along with prayer and supplication, we are to have perseverance and supplication. With all perseverance, how much perseverance? All perseverance. And supplication. Perseverance is persistency. It's a continuance. It's the determination to do something with intense effort despite any difficulty that arises. I'm going to pray. Now, don't know about you, but it's been a good reminder in Sunday school to think about the things that we need to be praying for. You know, there's times that there's things that we're commanded to pray for that we don't maybe feel like praying for. But we're commanded to pray. And because we're commanded to pray, if we don't pray, we are in disobedience to God when we don't pray. This is where perseverance comes in. This is what I need to be praying for. And I'm going to persevere. I'm going to be importunate in my prayer. I'm going to continue to bring these requests before the Lord, to bring these needs before the Lord, to pray for these things that God has told me to pray for, to make supplication. And the idea is we are to be watching with perseverance. We are to be watching with supplication. And here's a challenge for us, because we're going to see the target of prayer in just a moment, and that's the saints. How can we supplicate for the saints? How can we make supplication when we don't even know what the needs are? We don't make ourselves aware of the needs of others. If we are so focused with our life, how difficult it is, all the problems we're going through, all the things that we need to do, we don't take the time to see the needs. We're not watching. We're not circumspect to the needs of others and thinking, what can I pray for someone else? Now, we already have our list. We've got it all, you know, set in stone. God, I want this. I need this. I need this. And I need this. What is the brother in Christ next to you? What do they need? What does the person across the auditorium need? Do we even take the time to be aware of that? Do we even take the time to ask? I mean, really ask, how are you doing? And, you know, really taking the time to listen to the answer to that question. How persistent are we? Are we watching with perseverance? Are we watching with supplication? And then lastly, the target of prayer, the last phrase in that verse, for all saints. That word all has a collective meaning to it in a general sense. But it also has an individual meaning to it. How much of our prayers are focused on intercession for the saints? Compared to, and I keep coming back to this because this is, I think this is something that we all struggle with, compared to how much we pray for ourselves. It's kind of amazing that this prayer passage and how rich and deep it is with truth, it's amazing that the point where he's going is that we ought to be praying for each other. How targeted are the prayers in your life for other people besides yourself? So some truths about prayer that will help you engage the enemy. Prayer is significant. How significant is it in our life? Prayer ought to be frequent. How frequent is it in our life? Prayer ought to be balanced. How balanced is our prayer? Prayer ought to be submitted to the will of the Spirit. How submitted is our prayer? Prayer ought to be ready at all times. We are to be looking and seeking after opportunities to pray. How sought after is prayer? Prayer is to be accompanied by persistence, by supplication. How persistent and how perseverant are we in our prayer lives? And then prayer is to be targeted. How targeted are your prayers tonight? I hope that you're engaging the enemy and being involved in this incredible thing that, you know what, I can't really explain what it is and how it works and why God chose to work in this way, but we do know the Word of God tells us that this is important, and it's an important discipline in your life. And I hope this week that you'll challenge yourself with one of these things. Perhaps it is the idea of actually praying when we pray, to actually utilize that time, and then keeping those communication lines open with the Lord all the time. I hope God has challenged you a little bit to prayer tonight. Father, thank you for your word, for this rich verse that's before us. And as we take just a moment to consider and just ask you to apply something very specific to our hearts, I pray that we would make it a point this week to apply something, to grow in this area of prayer. We all really could use that growth, no matter where we are. You want to take us further and deeper. And I pray that we would take a truth tonight and apply it to our hearts. Tonight we're just going to spend a moment and ask God to apply a truth to our hearts. And I hope you will just take a moment of silence and pray to the Lord. However he has spoken to you, that you would just respond to him. And that this week that you would be challenged to be involved in the spiritual warfare of prayer. Take a moment and talk to the Lord tonight. Lord, we pray that you would help us to continue to strive to be prayer warriors. Help us to be engaged in the warfare of prayer, not to shrink from it, not to allow the enemy to distract, to take our minds away from this incredibly, incredibly significant discipline in our life as Christians. And I pray that we would be committed and focused in this year as we receive challenge and preaching about this idea of prayer, that we would just be so dedicated and hungry to grow and to apply the truth of your word to our hearts in this area. Help us this week to pray always with all prayer and supplication and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and that we would do all of that within the boundaries of your perfect will. Help us to be prayer warriors this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you for your attention tonight. It's been a blessing.